Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello, I'm Sam Parado, right here. This is my voice, you're talking to her, and you've reached Expedition Self here. Oh, gosh, today our show is called Juju for You. Is that fun? It's kind of an unusual show. I generally don't pick topics exactly like this, but I thought it would be fun. And also, a couple weeks ago, I did a show on being a good citizen. And, you know, before I dive into the topic, I like to talk about some of the things that have been running through my head. And just of late, I have been reading a lot about how people are rationalizing whether they'll vote or not. And it brings me to these hundreds of moments when, as a free thinker, I rationalized my apathy, my inactivity, and resistance without really understanding or caring really about the full implications of what I was doing in a whole host of scenarios, like not just citizenship ones either. And so, you know, our show is all about going inside, and I just feel like we're at a time right now where we just can't take anything for granted anymore. And so this means that we would want to go inside about our opinions too, right? Like not just, I think sometimes when I talk about going inside, it looks like, oh, you go and you find the thought or the truth and then you leave. No, going inside means you go in, you challenge, you question, you investigate, you try it on, right? So about our opinions, it's about questioning what's actually happening within you and what's being triggered inside and, you know, how this is manifesting in your choice to act or to not act. And I think opinions are like the lid on the box when you go inside. And the box and its contents are worth your investigation, worth your time. And I think our world is made better when you do that and you bring that to the moment. So I want to encourage you to look at your emotional material that surrounds your opinions and look for things like resentment and feelings of being unimportant and rebelliousness and maybe even boredom, right? Because all of these form the root system to your opinions. So this is a call-in show. I'd love to hear from people, 202-570-7057. And gosh, anything you'd like to call in and talk about is awesome. The other thing that I've been struck by of late, I found myself thinking a lot about children and my childhood and, you know, even encountering children and how much our children are so impacted by all the adults around them and their undeveloped stuff. And in just one small way, I want to point out like an aspect of this. Because I think it goes on all the time. And if people would just get aware of it, I think it's one of the easier things to get a hold of. And it's called this like unknowing projection. So projection is when you pull something out of your inside self and then you believe that it is actually about the other person. You don't recognize that it's actually about you. It's kind of like the way the eyes work, where they flip things over and then you see them upright, but really they were upside down. I feel like that's how projection works. And it shows up to me a ton between adults and parents in sentences like, well, you know, when I was that age, that wouldn't have been okay. And I don't think that's okay for them. Or I see what and why about what they're doing right now, right? Like there's this whole I know about that other person and that child. And all I can say is, I think it's amazing any of us get through childhood with an identity that isn't so confused with who our parents were and what our parents were trying to deal with in themselves. I wonder a lot how we have any way of making our way to ourselves. And I just feel like this projection that goes unnoticed and is believed, it can stay locked in place for a very, very long time. As I was preparing for today's show, something it was extraordinary. It happened. One of my clients, who has now since retired, created a little get-together to talk about where he was now and a recent, what he called a vision quest experience that he had. And it was extraordinary for me because this is someone who has been in pursuit of his faith and his life for a very long time. And I was lucky enough to work with him for like 12 years or so. And now he's moved into this next phase and taking it to the next level, and he's healing himself. And of course, that means all of us feel that movement that he's actually making just in his life at some minute, teeny weeny energetic level. But one of the phases of the experience he had, it syncs up with what I'm trying to talk about around projection onto children just a little bit. And that is, in the first week of this 6-week experience, they asked him to lay out an entire timeline of his life in detail. And this timeline idea is something we do with Expedition Self workshops and in the world, because it helps us to go back and actually see the actions and the facts and the events of our life. And even though it stirs up emotion, it's really the facts that matter initially, right? So that we begin to create a framework or an architectural plan, kind of, so we can gain some additional perspective about what might be there. And of course, when we do that, then we'll see these projections in ourselves that I'm talking about that came at us from our parents. And then we might even see what we project on others. Wow, that would be a win, right? So if you're in a place of going inside, I'd encourage you to spend a little time noticing all of the projections people place on others and notice how you do it, potentially with your children or people in your life, and then notice how it comes at you too. I think it is one of these dialogue mechanisms, relational mechanisms, that if we could get a handle on that and get more conscious, we'd all have a lot more freedom to be ourselves. So, all right, so awesome pieces of you, right? They're waiting to be discovered. And so this idea, we are going to talk about juju, I promise, but I want to make this point about how important it is that you will your own growth and development. Because nothing happens truly in your growth process unless you either allow it through the will, or you're willing, you know, to will it, right? Which means to cause it. Like, no one shifts. Just like I was sharing with you about this client and friend of mine, if he didn't will it, it just was not going to happen. Okay, well, so I think that's some of the stuff that I have been thinking about of late. So we're talking about juju and you, and I played with all the titles that might work, and this is one of the few shows of all the ones that I've done where I'm going to actually play with the words good and bad, which, if you know me, I normally stay a long ways away, a lot of distance from those words, because I feel like all the judgment that's wrapped in them keeps us from actually building a relationship with the self. So you know that I think everything in life is about describing who you are being in connection with something else. And rather than seeing things as good and bad, I see them through the dynamic or the cause and effect of it. So this show is definitely a bit of a departure for me. Okay, I'm going to give you the number one more time, 202-570-7057. You can call and talk about projection. You can talk about opinions. You could talk about your growth process. You can talk about going inside. And of course, as we talk about juju, you can call and talk about juju too. So I looked up juju, and I had no idea it meant so many things. The first shocker is that juju is slang for a marijuana cigarette. Okay, I had no idea. Now maybe it's because I'm a little bit sheltered, but that was like, what? I'm doing a show on Juju for you, and the slang is marijuana cigarette. Okay, so the next thing I found was that it's an open source tech modeling tool. Okay, so somebody thought, oh, Juju's a good word for the name of the business. Then I found that it's part of a video game, Destiny 2, where when Juju is thrown as a catalyst, it heightens the destructiveness of the weapon used. I thought, oh, that's a very interesting thing. And it kind of fits, right? Where we're going to go is that Juju has some effect. It's a catalyst of some kind in your life. And then, but I want to tell you where its actual origin. It's from the practice of Juju or voodoo in West African nations like Benin, Nigeria, Ghana, and Togo. And it says that Juju is neither good nor evil, but it has good and evil sects, sects, not sex, that practitioners can use for nefarious deeds or constructive use in their lives. So, all right, I just thought let's give a little background before I like start playing with it. And so along my research, I found this book from, or I found Naja Lightfoot, who is the author of Good Juju, Mojos, Rites, and Practices for the Magical Soul. And she talked about the four ways to invite good juju into your life. So you honor your ancestors, you be consistent, you build re relationships with plants, animals, and nature, and you be kind and helpful. So I thought as a starting point today, it would be good to just share with you an excerpt of her work, just to help you get your head into this conversation. And before I read it, I want to say that I don't think I ever heard of the word juju up until like the last decade. And so you may have zero relationship with it, or you may have thought it was really fun and you play with it as well. So today, hopefully, you'll come out of it and you'll have it be part of your self-development repertoire, and you can think about it at work in your life. So, okay, here goes. Here's what she said. She said, good juju is a handshake with spirit. It is an acknowledgement, an agreement, and a commitment you keep with your higher power, your deities, ancestors, and divine beings on a consistent basis. Good juju recognizes that you are not alone on your path, and it recognizes that many have come before you, and also that many shall come after you. It recognizes your belief in a higher power, the forces at work, the seen and unseen, greater than yourself. Good juju, it lies in the morning sunrise and the whispers of the wind, the ebb and flow of the ocean, and the gurgling of a mountain stream. It wafts around you as sweet incense smoke makes your heart race to the beating of the drum, boom, boom, and focuses your gaze in the flame of a candle. Good juju exists within and without. It is a smile freely given to a stranger, a helping hand to a child, aid to a person in need, or an act of random kindness. It is forgiveness, tolerance and acceptance, higher ideals continually striven for, even if it takes you a lifetime to reach them. I'm getting to the end as the last paragraph. Good juju is patient. It realizes not all goals can be achieved or met in a day, a week, or maybe even in one's lifetime, but surely as you take a step towards it, this is the part I really loved. Surely, as you take a step towards it, it will meet you and greet you with open arms. As long as you are willing, there's my word, willing, open, honest, and sincere. So that says a lot. It's this sense, this feel that there's a force at work around you, one that you can tap into by being in touch with it and cultivating certain intentions and ways of being. I think of juju as this kind of stream or flow of the universe, and the idea of getting into that flow rather than fighting it or outrunning it or missing it all together. It's kind of like picture, it's running over the top, right? Or around. And you just, it's like reaching an arm up and simply making contact. So her handshake metaphor worked for me, but I see it as a more powerful force, right? Like an energy, a movement that's going on all the time. And it's at work. It's weaving around the planet and around our lives and around our bodies, and that we just have to plug into it and get empowered. So, all right, when we come back, we're going to go a little further after break about what is good juju and how do you reach up and get that arm into the flow of all that juju.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back. I'm Sam Parado, and you are listening to Expedition Self. I just, before I go further, I always am so touched by that ad that comes on about hunger, where they actually have the voice of the person that's having the experience share it. And, you know, I just find, like, when I think about the world and not the media, but the everyday connections that we all have, that when somebody talks from the heart about what they're really experiencing, it just makes life and that moment blossom, right? Just become more a little acute and vital. So anyway, I don't know why I just got distracted by thinking about how important that is, right? So, okay. I think of juju, right? Remember before we went to break, as this kind of stream or flow. Right, it's a wave, an energy wave, and it's moving around us all the time and through our lives. So good juju is kind of mystical, kind of, because it's not like you can really see it. Sure, you can't run a scientific test on it. So if we take this idea that it's kind of mystical, we might say, how do I invite the greatest good into my space? Or how do I dodge the stuff that would create chaos for me? Or how do I make sure that I don't invite ill will towards me or cause some loss for me? You know, what questions would you ask if you knew that there was this incredible opportunity for help and support and enhanced, right? Like movement in your life, what would that question be? What would you actually be asking? The first part of asking these questions is kind of challenging, to me at least, because it implies that there is some ill will that can be directed towards us. And it implies that there's some grand set of universal principles about how we are to operate together in the world, and that when we operate in that, we don't invite someone else's negativity. And then, of course, if we don't sync up with those principles, then things aren't going to go as well for us. That's kind of a challenging concept, right? It's a challenging concept because it puts us in a place where we're judging or assessing other people's actions through this lens of, is there ill will or is there negativity? And of course, to me, once you start playing in that world, you're really caught in your own set of judgments. You're caught in your own set of ideas that keep you stuck in that duality. And yet, juju, if we're going to talk about it, it does have something to do with getting things moving in a direction that you would feel is for your benefit. So another part of it is the very idea, if you think about growth work, that I'm not the source of everything that happens, or that I'm also not in control of what happens, and that things that happen, like a car accident or breast cancer or a house that gets flooded, or even little things like getting audited from the IRS or our payment for our mortgage that gets lost in the mail. Who wants to view all those things as bad juju? Like you've done something and now there's some cause and effect and now you're inviting like this negativity to come towards you. I don't know, it made me feel kind of unsettled, like looking at life through this lens of whether so-called events of life are caused by whether or not you've attracted good or bad juju. In some ways, when we talk about growth work a lot, we talk about not being a victim. Boy, that whole little track there could really plug into this idea of, oh, something's happening and I'm a victim of it and it's bad juju. So I just want to keep that in mind as we talk today, that really isn't, that's not where I'm headed. And I don't actually think it fits inside of the kind of empowering thought process we can have about juju if we don't get stuck in the good energy, bad energy, positivity, negativity, and what's coming at me and, you know, what am I putting out? and again, this is why I said this is kind of an unusual show, because it lends itself right to going into that good and bad. So this is really a conversation about how to tap into the juju flow for your greatest good, right? The idea that there's this flow and it can help you and it can bring things into your world that produce growth that you may not even know you asked for, but that in the end are something that are going to bring you to evolve. So it's not a conversation about what you're doing to intentionally draw bad juju to you in mystical ways, but pieces of the list as I go through it, you know, how to tap into good juju, might sound like that, because we're going to talk about you and your juju and who you're being and what choices or actions you're taking that might keep you disconnected or at a distance from this force of life that's actually moving and undulating all the time. Okay, I'm going to start with the first one that I think is kind of like the hardest to say, oh yeah, that's me. It's also the one that is, I think, most associated with juju. And that is that lying, manipulating, fibbing, managing the win, knowingly taking advantage of others instead of providing a choice or because you think they deserve it, right? All that, that spending energy in there in an unknowing way and thinking that that is going to cause your life to go well would be a myth, right? And so that's big stuff. Now here's my question. Take just a deep breath. Have you been able to see where you lie, manipulate, fib, manage the win, and sometimes take advantage of others instead of giving them a choice, or feel like they deserve whatever they've gotten that you are, that is not so great? good juju or tapping into the flow or energy force of the universe will not happen from that, especially if there's a knowingness about it. I think in our innocence or denial or self-protection, we're allowed to be clueless. We're allowed to, have blinders on our eyes, because that's really what it is to be human. But when we've had consciousness, or when it gets more intentional, then we act from there, then it's going to create this slowdown, or it's going to impact the pace of your life. And when this happens, it seems like things don't gel as well, right? Timing for making things happen just doesn't come together in a way that is smooth and easy, right? It might be disjointed and fragmented. You don't get that appointment with the doctor you wanted when you needed it. Or it seems like you're having to work extra hard, right, to make money, maybe. See, the synchronicity of life, it just doesn't quite show up when we're operating from a place that I described before. So I want to say that lying and manipulating and fibbing, I bet you're like, could she stop saying this stuff? Managing the wind, knowingly taking advantage of others. It's human. It's human. It's human. You cannot be a human. I cannot be me and not find these aspects of myself. Even if to the outside world, we're looking like really, really sweet and kind and all that, we're probably overtly, without even realizing it, withholding or orchestrating circumstances to our favor in a quiet way. I do think I talk about this quite a bit, because I think it's part of our shadow self, or the part of ourselves we generally don't want to look at, right? So it's part of being in survival mode, right? It occurs as the ego tries to overcome anything that it finds threatening or challenging, the control that it has. So what this means, this is the bad news, is that when we're missing that connection that I'm describing as good juju, we probably don't even realize some of the little pieces that look like they're just everyday life or just the way it is. We don't realize that they're keeping us at a distance from grabbing on, from reaching up and putting our hand in that stream, right? And the more we miss this idea of being in integrity, the more it will continue. Now, I just put in a really big word, integrity. So yes, I'm saying that when we have to twist and coerce and like wrap, right, what it is that we're thinking or needing into something to try to get the world to adjust to us in a way that isn't, transparent and shared and open, where we're holding it tight and keeping it to ourselves and keeping it secret. When that happens, we're not going to be able to tap into that good juju. See, integrity isn't just about being honest about whether or not you ran the red light. Integrity has to do with whether your words align with your actions, and whether your actions align with your heart, and whether your heart aligns with your thoughts. That's a lot of aligning. So the more we are in integrity with all of those parts, well, the more good juju will be available to us. And of course, wow, that's a lot. That's such a lot. So I don't know how many people walk around and go, oh, I was out of integrity there. I said one thing and did something else. I was out of integrity there because actually what was in my heart was to get out of here, to get out of that. And what I said was, oh no, I'll stay. Right? So this idea that being in integrity and supporting this alignment, well, it makes sense that that would give you access to good juju. I mean, you may be sitting there going, oh my gosh, she's saying this stuff I already know. Well, I may be, for sure. And what I also want you to see is that it's an opportunity to look again, to just take one more gander around the self here and see where you can even say to yourself, is there a place I'm not really aligned with something that's going on in my life? Is there a moment that's happening in my space right now where my heart and my thoughts don't match up, or my actions and my heart don't match up? So good juju is how things are going to help us, to aid us in creating what we want, to making the timing of things work out to our advantage. Good juju, the ability to access that good juju, comes from being in integrity. So good juju, in the way I define it, is endeavoring to be in integrity between all the parts of the self. So when I was younger, this was not an easy place for me. I wasn't in integrity with myself in almost any way. My head was all about figuring out how I was going to win, right? How I was going to get the thing that I wanted, whatever that thing was, whether it was a chocolate chip cookie or it was winning a beauty pageant. My psyche unconsciously was trying to defend all the time against risks and enemies. So I was on constant guard for who was saying what and whether or not it was meant to like land for me in a way that I would feel hurt or upset. And I perceived that people were somehow not believable or understandable. And so that had me listen to them in a way that I don't know that I most of the time really listened, because I was too busy working with whatever they were saying to try to figure out whether it was a threat to me, whether it was going to help me win, or whether or not I could trust what they were actually saying. So, you know, that good juju, it didn't really happen around me. As much as I noticed it occurring as those things got in place, I think I shared the story about the beauty pageant in my life after I had my body cast. And basically, I had decided that this winning this beauty pageant was going to make everything better about who I was, that it was going to make me feel like I wasn't a loser. It was going to make me feel like I wasn't ugly, which was part of my thing. It was going to make me feel like I had realized my goals and my accomplishments. And I got ready for this thing for a year. I hired a teacher to help me sing, which I can't sing. And, you know, I mean, not like in a way that I could compete, really. I bought 3 different gowns. I just can't even tell you the work that went into this, because my entire self-image was resting and relying on me winning this pageant. And so think about what I'm trying to say in terms of integrity, is everything about how I was wired was really not in sync, because part of me was really just, right, needing to take in where I really was in life. Part of me was trying to prove that I really wasn't there in life. And part of me was trying to manage everybody around me so that they would give me that darn crown. Well, I didn't win. I didn't reach the juju. I put my hand up there and I got it up there and I didn't get the juju. And you know what? What a gift that was in my life. It took me a while to start to, you know, like get to the place where I could do my work. But it definitely was kind of like, with all this intention and everything I had put into it, I wasn't actually in integrity when I went for it. And the woman who won, they basically said that they made her queen because she had heart. My heart was completely missing in that story. It was in the time, and I spent, again, a year of it. It wasn't even visible, right? So when I first really began with my growth work, it was because I couldn't make sense of why I lost, right? Or what was happening in my job or my friendship with Susan Torella, because none of it synced up with what was going on inside or what I was afraid of. I really couldn't get access to good juju. And you know, when you think about yourself in your life, or you think about people that you know, people in your family, this is a moment I just want you to extend a sense of understanding about how hard it is sometimes to reach up and get a hold of the good juju. It's just, there's so much going on inside of us. And so at the time, like in my 20s, all I could do was really go to work on all those places that were out of alignment. And here's the good news. This is the part I'm hoping you're getting about this juju. I didn't have to like get in alignment everywhere. No, the minute I did that, the minute I began, I'm pretty sure that what happened to my juju field was that it actually quickened and it began to take notice and it began to work to my benefit. Like it began to get up underneath me because I was starting to get in alignment and get up underneath myself. So that's the second thing I think that gets us to good juju. And that is it's about generating your own changes and transformation and forward movement. So when we come back, we'll talk some more about that.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All right, well, we're back. And I'm Sam Perotto. You're listening to Expedition Self. And today we're talking about juju for you. And just before we went to break, I mentioned that I thought the second key element of getting access to good juju is generating your own changes and transformation and forward movement. So right now, I want you to picture someone who doesn't have a job and they get their resume done and they've sent it out and they looked at LinkedIn every day and forward some more, right? But it's not producing the kind of results or sense of like things are happening, right? That they would like, right? The people, they're not in a lot of conversations. No one's calling or saying, hey, I know someone who, right? Because that's how you know when the energy is really moving. So if you think about it, what's going on inside that person is like enough, right? They're doing it. But there's this place where you could look and say, well, they're not really stretching on their own behalf. Because when you lift the lid, right, like that lid I talk about on the box, on what's going on inside of them, you'll see that talking to people makes them anxious and uncomfortable. This idea of, you know, picking up a phone and having no idea who's on the other side and trying to start a conversation, that's like, ugh. And so instead, they just keep doing the same thing. Keeping doing the same thing, continuing to do the same thing is the opposite of generating. Now, just for a moment, think about all the things you do in your life that are the same thing. You do them the same way. Yeah, I'm suggesting that all that sameness doesn't actually get you closer to that, grabbing onto that good juju. I keep seeing a trolley car in San Francisco where you hold on to the cable that runs across the top. So even though there's some effort being done, that effort is still within the scope. I'm talking about that young person who's or old person or whoever trying to find the job, right? Even within the scope of what they're already comfortable doing. So I'm saying the stretch is what I think starts bringing good juju. Now you could say, I've talked about it through the idea of taking risk or doing experiments or whatever. But the way I'm thinking about it today, it's really more about this idea of sameness and this waiting for things to happen versus saying, no, I'm going to generate this. I'm going to create this. I'm going to be a farmer, right, who cultivates my land and I add fertilizer to it and I figure out like what else I can grow there. So in this moment, you can see the role that denial will play in this generating thing, because if you keep denying what's really under the surface or what's really uncomfortable or the reason you're stopping at a particular line, well, then you won't have the capacity or the wherewithal to tackle that new action or that new way of being, right? Or that set of steps that would cause generating to occur. See, denial, I think denial, like literally picks your body up and takes you 10 feet away from the good juju bar, the good juju stream, right? Because denial is like, not only am I here and I'm not trying, now at the level of denial, I'm like blocking, right? Anything that I can try to get my hands on. Wow. I don't know, did you ever think about that? I think it makes sense that denial actually moves us further away. It takes us further from getting our hand wrapped around the force of the energy that's there to help us, the flow of what can really get up and underneath us and have wind be at our back. Okay, next one. So the next way to create juju, get good juju, is to cultivate a generous heart. To cultivate a generous heart. Gosh, I think this is a very difficult one to do when you've experienced pain or disappointment or lack in your life. And let's face it, most have. And it's because a generous heart, the way I mean it, cannot be faked. It is the true wanting of good things for others. It's thinking the best of someone, even while you're staring, you know, eye to eye into the shadow of them or the dark side or something that makes you crazy. And it's being willing to be the one who takes the hit or loses or is off when others aren't doing the same. Well, I know this sounds a bit saintly because I'm certainly not talking about being a martyr. But in truth, the more we cultivate this kind of deeply profound generosity, which is based on the idea that I will be okay, I am enough, I have what I need, right? It's based on this idea. Then the more we'll be able to bury our entire arm into that wave of juju energy that's at work in the world. But here's the thing, and I said it before, you can't fake it. So what does that mean you are really paying attention to? Right? I'm not paying attention just to being like, I'm going to have a generous heart. Yes. No, this is a challenge. We're going to pay attention to the places where you don't feel it, where it's not present, where you're resentful and where you have a closed heart. Do you know what a closed heart feels like? Do you know what your closed heart feels like? This is really important. Because a closed heart, at least mine, generates thoughts of ill will. Like I send, like maybe they'll trip, right? It generates thoughts of they're different than me or separation. Like there's somebody over there that I don't want to be the same as. Right? I might even wish of a loss for them or be fine that they did lose. And I don't want them to win because they don't deserve it. I started talking today about children and I I think as a child, I didn't feel generous of heart a good amount of the time. And it was very clear that I didn't feel it. If someone, like a boy in my class, teased me or put bubble gum in my hair or peanut butter, I think that's the one I really remember, I didn't want them to get the right answer when they raised their hand. And the big one for me is I didn't want someone I was friends with to be that guy's friend. I actually have a situation like this going on in my life right now. It's been going on for a while. And there's a friend who's friends with someone who I was a friend with, and I don't connect with them so much now. And I got to admit it, my heart is not generous, and I don't really want good things for them. And, you know, social media is so awesome for that. Every time I see another good thing, I can feel my heart go, you know, it just closes. But this is the challenge of being human, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, right? At this point, it's pure freedom to admit it. And I think for most of us, we just notice it and go on about our day as if there's nothing to be done. But if you're going to be a seeker, right, a trailblazer, going to go inside, if you're really wanting to get in that juju flow, well, then you're going to have to notice your complacency too. And the acceptance that goes on inside where we settle for less of what's possible for us. And no, you know, this generous heart is not like bypass love, like, la, you know, tiptoe, I'm flowing the tulips. No, I'm not talking about that. It's the kind of thing where I recognize and then learn how to work through my lack of generosity. It's like, what is that work that you, or in this case, me, I need to do on it? So it's just a little added piece. It starts with recognizing that I have a lack of a generous heart and it's costing me something. It's actually costing me my good juju. And in doing that, I would have to find me in them and find them in me and then find the places where I don't have empathy for myself. You know, that all rhymed. I think that could be a song quote. And then I'd have to find the places where that empathy doesn't go to them. So, you know, it when I get to write about this on the radio show, it kind of like reinvigorates me to go, oh, I got to go to work on that. So I got to go to work on that. Anyway, when I asked my boyfriend what he thought good juju was, he said, thought about it for a moment. He said, well, it's like that golden rule, like that we have to do unto others as they do unto you, right? Do unto others as they do unto you. Like there's a place where I think he's right. It's kind of true because our generous heart has to start with what we give to ourselves and how much we claim of ourselves. The parts we don't like in someone else, will they be the parts we definitely don't want to claim in ourselves? And that generous heart has to be extended to the things in ourselves we do not like. So I'm just going to say it like this. Think of it as like one of those meters, you know, that like a thermometer that they do when they fundraise, is like generous heart with the self, really getting clear about closed heart, paying attention to that, going to work on it. What happens is, you know, juju, good juju, the energy of good juju, it just goes up and up and up and up and up the more we pay attention to it, because we're generating our own place in the world. We're generating our own place as being human. So, okay, another element, I am not going to get through all my elements, I think, today, of getting access to the juju flow of energy and support is when we're willing to believe that there's more at play than you can know, see, or understand. You know, being in the unknown and appreciating the mystery of all that is, it does something essential for us. It causes and brings humility. And in most of my shows, I talk a great deal about not knowing. And just to put a little context around this, about 15 years ago, when I was really trying to start bringing these growth ideas together, I landed on these two core things that if someone engaged actively and intentionally, they would grow, you know, at some pace. And being willing to not know was one of them. And I am convinced it is the thing that gets you really clear access to good juju. And, you know, this idea of accessing juju returns me to that time, right? So if you want the juju train to show up for you, then you have to believe that there is a juju train, right? Right? A juju train that you can't prove. It makes sense, right? And giving up being all-knowing, giving up thinking you rule everything, taking on a sense of compadreism, right? Like there is this shared experience of living of which you are not the ultimate authority or commander of. I made this word up. Well, this compadreism would extend to being able to get access to that good juju in your world. And it would also, right, if I could make a plug for the part of the self that I think is most often discounted, it would help you validate the unconscious. You would give room for the unconscious because it gives you insight and it would help you reveal life to you. And this unconscious that you'd be open to, it would help you to move beyond this only if I can see it, touch it, or hear it, do I count it, right? So perhaps the pursuit of good juju in the context of recognizing that there's more than you can see is also, it's also the place that helps you to expand outside of the very linear carbon-based bodies and understanding that we currently live inside of. So many of our limitations are kept in place by the way we occupy our minds. Okay, I think we're going to get to one more, which is about being sourceful. Now, this one is probably the least talked about element of accessing good juju or even being that I find. And so what is that? It's about being sourceful, recognizing where you came from, acknowledging what was given to you that you work from, really the good and the bad. And it's giving credit to others for their contribution to your life, right? It's the entire sense that you didn't do it alone and that you won't be accomplishing anything without the aid and support of all that goes on in the world. See, being sourceful means you walk in life noticing all the ways that you get help, all the ways that things come together to produce the day or the moment or the experiences that you're wrapped in. So when I meet people and interview them for jobs, it's one of the core qualities I look for. How sourceful are they? How sourceful are they? So what gets in the way of being sourceful? Why wouldn't you be that way? Does it make sense? Easy? Why wouldn't you want to acknowledge what others are bringing to you? Well, I can talk about the places where I haven't been sourceful. And they have a lot to do with my weaknesses or inadequacies. It's the stuff where I get competitive and I want to make sure that I get to be the one who did it. It's a self-image thing, right? And it's wrapped around any place where I felt like I was less than along my journey and I didn't work through it. And you know, when I think about it, you can think about it too, right? When I'm not sourceful, I'm usually triggered by my possessiveness, my wanting to make things mine, like to be the ultimate owner of whatever it is. And you can hear my ego at play here, like the survival stuff. So to the degree that I just leave it where it is and I don't acknowledge and then begin to shovel my way through it, well, then it's going to interfere with access to that good juju that's waiting for me. The last element is about oneness. And it kind of builds up the sourceful one because we begin to take the case that all of life is connected. The systems are interwoven and the entire nature of the human experience is shared as we are one. And this can only be embraced with the retiring or the resting of our need to fight for what's ours, right? Our sense of threatened lessening because we get more comfortable with what is so. Our fear of being in life becomes somehow more manageable. So when oneness is lifted up and becomes the way to allow access to more of that good juju, then you'll find that support for your dreams becomes exponential. Why wouldn't it? Right? There's so much available now, and it's not just you who is tapping into it, because you're now making it possible for all those around you to make contact too, because you're one. You're one. I'm spending a lot of time these days exploring this and noticing, I've noticed specific ways that the quality of my life has shifted, the way my needs have so much more room to be met within my like social and family circles. And also I feel less pressure to produce because I have the sense of being one with others. I mean, even my communication starts to shift. It's so interesting. I think there's some very interesting spiritual expansion that's possible when we nurture this idea of oneness. And the other thing it does, as my last kind of one little thought, is it highlights the places inside of us that split off when we were growing up. The places, the home of duality within us, where one aspect took off to the right and the other went to the left. And it challenges it by saying, no, it's all one. It doesn't have to be separate. So we'll be talking about separations in our next show. Thank you for joining me. I hope you reach up, put your arm out, and get into that river of good juju.